Welcome to Walking Through the 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible. John Barnett here. I've come home from work. Bonnie and I have worked most of today. We've been in the virtual studio. We've done three classes that we teach, as many of you know that have been in this study all along. But for any of you that are new, we are right now during COVID. This is the last day of January of 2021. We are on the road for 5 weeks, teaching in five different virtual classrooms, and we're teaching primarily students in East Asia and are hearing from them constantly, and it's a long day, but those of you that I'm going through all year long this study of the Bible, I come home and film what I have learned this week. And so basically, the two tools we need, I have my Bible, I have my notebook that I've been taking the notes in, and I'm going to be walking you through the highlights. This Exodus chapter 12 is so big. The Exodus goes all the way through the scripture. The Passover specifically becomes the commemoration meal for the church, the Lord's Supper. It's central to the whole book of Revelation, so this study is huge. So let me just go through it with you. I'll come back with the handheld camera to go through my journal. I can show you. I've been working. These are my notes from today, and of what I wrote down that I had found after I read through Exodus 12. And that's just my Bible, and I will show you up close what I've found. But let's go through this study. But let me just do something I usually do when I'm sitting at Panera or Starbucks in the old days when we did face-to-face meetings, or at Chipotle or wherever we were meeting. But let me just pray. Let's bow. Father, open our hearts to your word. Thank you that all that are in this weekly study with me and anybody else that joins us, that we can be connected, that you would let us live in a time that we can be connected online. And I pray you'd use this study in everybody's life like you've used it in mine this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I'm so excited to go through this with you. Let me go through the slides. We're on week 5. We're studying Exodus 12. The theme that we're studying is the Passover. But what I want you to really think about is, why did Paul say that Jesus is our Passover? Why did he say that? Here's another question. What was the Passover? What was God's purpose? What did he do? Why is this so huge in the Bible? And why does Paul say that this blood, see the blood in this bowl that with a bunch of hyssop, this Hebrew back in the Exodus time, living in Egypt, is doing the doorposts. Why does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 5 that this is a picture of Jesus Christ? So that's what we're going to examine. Basically, Jesus is our Passover. Remember, he's the Lamb of God. He was slain, like you see that knife down there. His blood was poured out as an offering. And so as these Hebrews went through this process, And what the Bible says is to strike both side posts like this and the lintel. So basically the posts of the door were supposed to be splattered with blood. But if the paint, or I mean the hyssop, like a paintbrush, was dipped in the blood and just, you know, if you did it as quick as you could across the front of the door, if you had the door shut, and from the top to the bottom, do you see how it made a cross there? That's almost, you know, why this gets so exciting to me, because this is about Jesus Christ offering himself on the cross. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the door. And so that bloody door of Exodus 12 at the Passover reminded us that Jesus is the way we enter. Just to show you where we are, we're in week 5 right here. And this little study, if you want a copy of it to put like I have it, I'll show you right here in the front of my notebook. this list of how to do the study, and then this list of the verses, of the chapters, is right here, and I'll put that across as an overlay. Our Facebook page is called The 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible. It's also this study, The 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible that we're in, is also on our website. And discoverthebook.org is our website, and you'll find either there or on Facebook that list that you can copy and paste in your notebook. We've already covered, this is the fifth week of January of 2021. We started out at the beginning of the year with the creation. The fall was the next week, the global flood, Abraham's call. Now we're at Exodus and the Passover. Now there are, for those of you, I work on this every day. Basically, I read every day through all week long, whatever the chapter is we're studying, or chapters. I read them through every day, and I keep jotting down everything I find in my notes. Some of you just do this once a week because you just want to kind of go with us, but you have a lot of other stuff going. That's great. But some of you are really eager to master kind of the big message, the whole message of the Bible. And you're doing everything. You've got Grudem's looking up, as I remind you, of theological and systematic theology terms you need. Others of you, you have the MacArthur Study Bible, and you're going through that. But for those of you that want to enlarge that, do you see here the extra online resources to deepen your study this week in Exodus? Here's what they are. Posted for this week, and they're like, it'll say week 5A, week 5B, week 5C. Here's one, Seeing Jesus in Exodus, and this is just the whole book of Exodus. This is seeing Jesus from him being the Passover all the way through manna, him being in all the sacrifices, him being in all the elements of the tabernacle. So seeing Jesus in Exodus, here's another one. This is an in-depth look at the 10 plagues of Egypt. And look at this. This is fascinating. The plagues of Moses are a preview of tribulation judgments. So those plagues you'll see reflected in the book of Revelation. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, especially those of you that are going to hang on all 52 weeks. We're only in week 5. But if you're going all the way to week 52 with us, you're going to see in Revelation what the foundational study we did here in the book of Exodus is going to show up there. Here's another one, Exodus, Moses and how God liberates his people from Satan's false gods of Egypt. And this is the pantheon of gods, kind of modern representations, and this is actually from the tombs of Egypt and from all of the archaeological background we have. Now, for some of you, you don't realize how much of everything that's in the Bible is in archaeology. And another series that I do is going through the major museums of the world. You can learn so much that affirms your faith in the Bible by going through the Israel Museum, which has everything that's ever been dug up in Israel. It's just all the way down to the only proof of crucifixion, the only proof of so many things in the Bible are in the Israel Museum. But also, the Vatican Museum is huge, and we take classes through that, and I actually lecture all the way through the Israel Museum, all the way through the Vatican Museum, the British Museum, the Louvre, all of these different, the Acropolis Museum, all of these different historic reminders of the authenticity of the Word of God. Sacred history is what this whole section of looking at Exodus is about, and it reminds us that Exodus fits in history. Now history, remember what history is, everything happened sometime chronologically. You know, because God says in the beginning, and he kind of sets a clock in motion for human existence, everything fits somewhere. On this slide, how does Exodus fit in sacred or biblical history? Now, of course, just for you to think about, when Abraham, see these camels here? when Abraham went down into Egypt in chapter 12 of Genesis, you remember we're looking at the famine and how Abraham struggled with his faith. Did you know that those pyramids were already, when Abraham went there, almost 500 years old? Think about that. Here is a simple Bible event timeline. I won't go into this too much because I cover it every time, but if Adam is at the beginning, and he is, Noah was what we would say is about 2500 BC. Abraham was 500 years later at 2000 BC. Where we are today is Moses is 500 more years later, going toward, you know, toward the right of these columns is where we are. We're way past Christ, in 2,000 years past Christ. See, the time of David is 500 more years than 250 years to Isaiah, 250 more years to Ezra, 500 more years after Ezra to Jesus. So Adam to Noah, Noah to Abraham. Do you see the sequence of time? This is what sacred history is about. God has shown us the order of events in the Bible. Real quickly, there are two ways that you can look at the Bible chronology. There is the exact following the museum dating, which you see on this chart, that from the Bible we have Abraham born 2166. The way we know that is because the Bible in 1 Kings 6:1 tells us that Solomon, in his fourth year, built the temple, which was 480 years after the Exodus. This is a great chart. This is following exact museum dating. Now, I'm going to show you the MacArthur Study Bible is just a few years different than that, and what that follows is the historic chronology. Both are quite accurate. They only, basically, there's just a tiny bit of difference between this slide I'm showing you, which I use in a lot of my museum tours, and the MacArthur Study Bible. Both of them, though, say that Thutmose and Amenhotep were the pharaohs that surrounded the Exodus. This is Thutmoses. Look at Thutmoses the third, pharaoh of the Exodus, or some Christians believe he's the pharaoh of the oppression. He is the one that was so severely oppressing the Israelites. This archaeological relief dug up from Egypt, actual representation of Thutmose, is in the Louvre. I mean, in Paris. I mean, you can look him in the face, as well as the other pharaoh, Amenhotep II. What we are sure, all Bible scholars agree that it was the 1846, universal agreement among conservative Bible scholars who take biblical sacred history as accurate, that the Exodus was 480 years before Solomon started the temple. So it was 14. See this date on the slide, 1446 BC. And the second-born son, instead of Amenhat, the firstborn son, who the Bible says died in that plague. This is another timeline just to show you. We've gotten to right here. We've already covered, you know, Abraham, the flood, and the fall, and creation. And we're headed, you know, soon this direction as we march through this year. Sacred history, everything happened at some time. Sacred geography, everything happened somewhere. You see that right there? Where we're focusing right now is here on Egypt, Moses and the Exodus and the Passover as they're on their way down to Sinai. Think about the context as we read chapter 12 of Exodus. Think of these monuments. Look at that slide. This is very impressive. This is Karnak, by the way. This is one of the largest temples ever known from the ancient world. This thing covers acres. It has miles of walls, all kinds of outer walls and inner walls. It's unbelievably huge, and I've taken tour groups through there. It's magnificent, but it's overwhelming. That's why if you remember what Moses said, he says, I can't talk to Pharaoh. Well, think about that. Think about what was going on. These pyramids, when Moses got there, were 1,000 years old. And that Sphinx, and they were still, look at all this stuff they're building. This is a representation of what it looked like when Moses came in. I mean, it was an active construction site. This Pharaoh was this powerful man, one of the mightiest rulers alive on earth. It could have been arguably the mightiest in that time in the 18th dynasty. And Moses, from the backside of the desert, who smelled like sheep and goats, was asked to come into this shaved and powdered society of advanced civilization building pyramids like this. I mean, we don't even understand how they move those blocks. We don't understand how so many thousands of years ago they're so precisely laid and lined up with the stars. But God said, I'm the creator, you go for me. Now think about that. We face the same thing in our culture. We're asked to talk about a God no one can see and tell them that God says that all have sinned and fall short of his glory and need a salvation that only Christ provides. And we go, oh, I can't do it. Send a pastor, send a missionary. And God said, no, I'm sending you, just like Moses. And we get our boldness by the Holy Spirit that God gives us. Now I'm going to take you through my Bible with a handheld, and I'm going to show you where I start reading and marking everything that stands out as I read. And right here is, as you can see, I've spent a long time highlighting and marking, and I'm writing up here anything I'm finding. Because remember, I'm reading this passage through once a day. And whatever, whether it's one chapter or three chapters or whatever, I read it all through. Prayer, you know, I ask the Lord, like I told you in the first class, I say, Lord, open my eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. And then I invite him to just illumine me. And I spend time, you know, reading through the passage. Then anything that I find, I keep recording in my journal. So let's go to the handheld, and I'm going to show you all the way through. In fact, I'm going to give you the run-up, because I actually got so excited I had to read Exodus 1 through 11. Before I even read 12, and I made a lot of marks there. So let me show you all that right now. Okay, this is the handheld of my Bible that I always say, I'm sorry if I give you motion sickness, but let me just show you how I study the Bible. After praying, like we've already done in the class, I start reading. This is chapter 12, and I'm reading. And notice what it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 1, this month shall be the beginning. Speak to Israel, on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to his household of his father, a lamb for a household. Now see, I wrote in there, it's representative. See, the whole idea of the lamb being a representation for each person in each family. And I note that up above. It says, notice the progressive extent of the lamb for the individual. It says in Genesis 4:4, one lamb, you know, for Abel. Then for the family, that's what we see right here in Exodus 12:3. Then for the nation, when you read Leviticus. And then, remember, from John 1:29, for the world. So I do that, and then it has to be perfect, without blemish. Keep it, see verse 6, you keep it, so you befriend it. And you say, what's that about? Well, that's, they were supposed to sorrow when this lamb was their substitute. Kill it at twilight. Notice the timing. Take some of the blood. I showed you already those artist representations of putting the blood on the two doorposts on the lintel of the house. Where they eat, remember that was for protection, and then they shall eat it, that's they're supposed to partake. Verse 10, it's supposed to be fresh, no leftovers, eat it with a belt on, there was an expectancy. Now look what it says in verse 12, notice I put a little asterisk there, it says that I'm going to do this against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, for just a second, let me go back and show you what is going on here with the Exodus. Remember, because this was intended to be against all the gods of Egypt. So in Exodus 6, see where I am, Exodus 6, God told Moses to go and told him what he's going to do, the seven I wills. The seven I wills, therefore say the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out, I will rescue you, I will redeem you, I will take you, I will be your God, I will bring you, I will give it to you as a heritage, I am the Lord. Those are in the modern day Seder, and surrounding them are the four cups of the Passover. So all of this, that's why I go back and got a running start reading this. Let's just go through the plagues real quick. First of all, it says that Moses and Aaron did so after some initial resistance. Moses was 80 years old. That's what it says in 7:7, verse 7 there of chapter 7, in 14:46. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, go down and then look at this. Here's the first plague. So the Lord said to Moses, this is verse 14 of chapter 7, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes down to the water. Now, why would this plague of turning the water of the Nile into blood be so important? Because, look at this, verse 19, then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, the rivers, and all their pools of water, so that they may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Why? Because, now, the first thing is, Osiris, it was said that the Nile was his bloodstream. They actually worshipped this. I mean, you've heard of Osiris. Well, the Nile River is directly connected to that god of Egypt, and that's why Pharaoh dipped himself in the river every day. Hathor was the god of the fish. Hapi was the god of the crocodiles. And so they directly struck, God directly struck through Moses and Aaron, right at the heart of their religion. Then the second plague was the same thing. He says, go, if you refuse, I'm going to smite you, and frogs will come. And frogs will come on your people, and they're going to be everywhere in your ovens and kneading bowls. But look at this. I wrote this in the margin of my Bible. The frog god was Hekt, H-E-Q-T, one of the eight prime gods. It was a capital crime to kill a frog. And yet, look what it says. And they brought up frogs, and the servants had frogs. And it says that the frogs, verse 13, died out of the houses and the courtyards. They gathered them in heaps, and the land smelled. Yeah, and it was a capital crime to kill one. So God killed all of them. I mean, third plague of lice. But this is when God limits Satan's power. The magician, see in verse 19 right there. The magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, and his heart grew hard. The flies, I mean, verse 32, and oh, by the way, do you see how I chain these together? His heart grew hard, hardened to heart, verse 15 of chapter 8, verse 19. Why I'm doing that is because the Bible records that Pharaoh hardened his heart 10 times, and then God hardened his heart 10 times. And so I track all those through and I mark them there. And you can just study the plagues on your own. So that's what the Lord said right here against all the gods. And then, now the blood shall be assigned for you on the houses. So there's this personal substitution is the only way that God says the penalty goes on another. And so if you kill that lamb in your place and hide inside the house, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So remember how the scriptures say, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. I like this, and we don't have time to go into all these, but you notice how it says that 7 days, verse 15, you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove, see there at the top, leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day, this is of the Passover celebration, until the seventh day, which is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that person shall be cut off from Israel. What is this? Look what I wrote. God has zero tolerance of sin. Wow. I think we need to realize leaven is always a picture of sin, and God doesn't like sin in our houses, our homes, our lives, hidden, kind of stuck away here and there. We're supposed to clean out all known things that displease and dishonor God in our lives. They splatter the blood. And again, that no tolerance for sin. Don't eat. If you don't eat, you can't be around the people of God if you're not a part of the celebration. They splattered the blood. Ooh, look at verse 23. I wrote in there, and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. Actually, the Exodus death angel is the destroyer. And we meet him in Revelation 9, and I have a whole message on that. But wow, think about an angel that in the dark could find who is the firstborn, both of the children and in the stable. Wow. And there it is, verse 29. Oh, I have a little chronology up here. Abraham lived 175 years from 2166 to 1991. So you can just look in Wikipedia and see the pharaohs that were in Egypt when he went down in chapter 12. Isaac lived 180 years from 2066 to 1886. Jacob lived 147. Joseph 110, 1915 to 1805. But here, let's go to the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. Now that's his omniscience. He directed this destroyer. Remember the destroyer down here? Let's see, where was the destroyer? Right there in verse 23. He told, God omnipotently told him, who the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon, the firstborn of the livestock. And so Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry, for there was not a house in where there was not one dead. The universal scope of judgment. And then we go right into the Exodus. Chapter 12 is just fascinating all the way down. I noted here, it came to pass at the end of 430 years on that very same day. See, God is very concerned with history. It came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. God is into exact fulfillment, I wrote. And then right down here, 1 Kings 6:1 says the temple was built in 480, was built 480 years after the Exodus. So we know that the temple was built in 966. You add 480 years, and that's how we get the date of the Exodus. And then there's another number here. Jacob entered Egypt in 1876, and that's 430 years. That's how long they were actually living in captivity. So this is just my handheld, real quickly, you can see, and I'm going to type out all these lessons that I found, and that's what you're going to see in my journal, which I'll show you just some of those. Remember, I write the title, here are the lessons, God confronts, Satan's hold, all these things that you've seen in my journal, and then the prayer, and I'm going to close with that. A little later, but I just wrote it out. Lord, you want me to defeat Satan in my life. Thank you for shielding me from your wrath through Christ's sacrifice of his blood for me on the cross. You are omnisciently and omnipotently caring for me. Thank you for sending Jesus as my Passover lamb. I trust your plan. I adore you, my Savior, sent for me, amazed at your plans, and I love you, Lord, today. I check in the MacArthur Study Bible and look. As I'm looking at the MacArthur Study Bible, I'm looking at the background. Now, let me take you to the MacArthur Study Bible for a second. So, let me take you now to the MacArthur Study Bible. You can see it there on the screen. Let me get down all the way. See chapter 12? And verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke, most probably the instructions for the Passover, verses 1 to 20, were also given during the 3 days of darkness in order to fully prepare Israel for the grand finale and then the Exodus from Egypt. The next thing down you see there is the chronology of the Exodus, and I read all that, then I read each of these notes, C 12:2, 3 through 14, verse 5, at twilight, don't eat it raw, all of these different notes in the MacArthur Study Bible. After I read the passage and check all the materials in the MacArthur Study Bible, I write them down. Now, do you remember how we do this? I record my devotional findings in three separate divisions in my notebook. I write a title. Now, in my notebook, I wrote down the title for this chapter is The First Passover. See, nothing clever. Some people labor over these titles. I keep changing my titles the more I read it. But that was the very first, when I just sat down and read, I said The First Passover. So don't labor over trying to, you know, get a book title of a bestseller. Just write down something like a hook to remember what Exodus 12 is about. Then I'm looking for lessons, and I try and find as many lessons and truths and doctrines as possible. And then, remember, I've told you, this is the hardest part, that application prayer. So this is my journal. And as you'll see in the handheld time, when I actually show you my handwritten journal, it's a little bit hard to read, for some, especially on small handheld devices. So let me show you here on this slide what I typed. Now, this process, you don't have to do this, but for me, because I want to share this with you like we're sitting across the table, I actually read each of these entries and explain them when I'm face to face. But with all of you that are joining me in this last week of January, COVID confinement time, I type it up. So let me go through it with you. First of all, I write, it's the 52 greatest chapters, week 5, we're covering Exodus 12. My title is The First Passover. Remember, I told you that I keep adapting my titles. So when I typed, I've put all of them so far, my whole week of study, and so I put, you know, the Passover, the first Passover, but it's the introduction to the Passover and why Paul says Jesus is our Passover. Because Bible study for me isn't merely the facts, but letting God use his word. Remember, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Here, if you're memorizing verses, that's John 17, 17. John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. God can work inside of my mind by getting this book, his truth, his supernatural word, into, through my eyes, through my ears, into my mind, which is the spiritual component. So I want not only to know the facts, which I believe the facts of the Bible, but I want to be sanctified. I want to be more useful to God. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. So I write this title. Then the summary, I'm looking at the tie between the Passover and the cross, which is so great that Jesus Christ is called our Passover in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Now, here are all the lessons that I found. I found 14 of them. And in the handheld, you saw me, you know, chugging through all of these. The Passover becomes the start of their calendar. It's representative. The Passover lamb was personal for the people of each family. It had to be a perfect lamb to represent Christ. That's verse 5. They befriended it. You know, they kept it inside with the family. It was perfectly timed. They killed with its blood on the doorpost. Remember, at twilight. Now, the reason that's important is, and when you look at all the extra resources, I go through the incredible parallel. Now think about this. The Passover lamb was slain every year in the tabernacle and temple. The lamb was tied to the altar at 9 a.m. for the nation. It stayed there all day long, and at 3 p.m. the high priest slit the lamb's throat and killed it. Now, guess what? When was Jesus tied to the cross? He was tied to the cross at 9 in the morning when he was crucified. When did he say it is finished? At 3 in the afternoon. exactly paralleling the Passover lamb, and that's in those resources you can read. Back of the slides, the blood protected them, the death angel, destroyer would pass over, all partake, the family has to purge the leaven. I talked to you about that. God has zero tolerance, which is also my ninth observation. The blood splattered, here's the doorway and the ground. If you wanted to do your door real fast, if this was the door right here, you would take the blood and go to get both sides and go to get the top and the bottom. And as you were doing that, you made an ancient portrait of the cross, okay? The sign of the cross. So that was really a blessing as the blood splattered both sides and the top to bottom. It restrained the destroyer, verse 23 says. They were to worship. The firstborn impacted all strata of society and livestock, and it was universal. There wasn't, remember it said there wasn't a family that was untouched. Now the application prayer, and you can look at it on the screen, and I'm going to read it as a prayer. If we were sitting across the table, and that's, for all of you that are in my study, I long to be across the table from you at Starbucks or, you know, at Panera, wherever we are. But since we're out on the road teaching, and since you're wherever you are today, I'm just doing this through the camera, okay? So this is what you'd hear me pray if I was sitting with you. Lord, I want to purge out the old leaven of sin in my life today by your grace. As Titus 2:11-13 tells me, it's grace that teaches me to deny sin a place in my life. The sins of selfishness, fears, pride, untruthfulness, and lust in every form, I want banished from my life. Thanks for being my Passover. Thank you for shedding your blood to protect me from endless wrath on my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. So after all of the applications and that prayer, I remind myself of what you see on the screen. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. That's the underlying verse that I shared with you in class zero, and I share it with you every week. Remember, as you go through this study, as we find God's word, as we dig through it every day prayerfully, as we meditate on it, and then as we pray it back as an application prayer for God to change me, he gives me the joy and rejoicing in my heart because I am identified with God. I'm living by every word of God like the Bible says. Next slide. Two final challenges. Number one, find someone you can share your findings with. Remember, I encourage you, this is the ultimate way to grow. Get into a relationship with someone, be it your parents if you're living at home, your husband or wife if you're married and they know the Lord, some accountability friend if you don't have believers in your own home, someone from your church, someone from work, someone. And in fact, you want to shake someone up, just say, hey, I've enrolled in this Bible study. Could you help me? It takes 5 minutes. I'm going to share with you what I'm finding. And then take your Bible and notebook and show them how you underline and then show them what you found. Share what you found with someone. In fact, I would encourage you to say, hey, could you just take a moment and bow your head with me? I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to do this. Because what you'll find is if you pray a genuine application prayer in front of someone that at all respects or cares for you, do you know what they'll do? They'll say, what kind of study is that? And you can actually show them what you're doing. That's why I have it taped to my notebook. I say, oh, you want to read about what I'm doing, what chapters I'm covering? But they will want to start this study. So just think about that. Number two, start or review a scripture passage. And I have some suggested ones. This is right there, remember, is my phone. And these are the verses I'm working on. Here's the list from the MacArthur Scripture Memory. This is just one suggestion. I also use the Navigators. I also use the Bible Doctrines. I have many different memory programs. I've been memorizing the Bible for almost 55 plus years, okay? But the one I'm showing you right now is right there on the screen, the MacArthur Scripture Study System. Here are the 52 passages. I mean, this is the greatest verse in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. These are incredible. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11:28-30. I mean, I work on these every day. James 1:2-4. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. I mean, this is really, really the key to understanding. All we like sheep have gone astray. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. I mean, this is the backbone of the key scriptures of the Bible, and that's the list. And remember, this 52 key chapter study that you're watching right now is 1 year long, mastering the key chapters by studying them. All the doctrines, I mean, we're in this study, we're talking about redemption, we're talking about sanctification, we're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, sealing us, reconciled to God, all those doctrines. We look at the attributes of God, and we're also learning these key verses. And this, of course, is my scripture memory system that I use. It's called the first letter of each word, and I actually write that. You can see it on my, in fact, there's a picture right there. Verse 7, these are the first letters of every word of verse 7. Verse 8, verse 9, see here's verse 8, verse 9. This is the MacArthur System card for week 10 of Psalm 19. That's the scripture. This is my device that I use to remember it. Bonnie and I are missionaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Normally traveling all over the world, speaking to frontline missionaries as well as next generation students at little Bible schools. Most of the classes we teach in person are so little. The largest one I ever teach is 250, but I teach down to just two or three students. You can see on the geographic areas, Sub-Sahara Africa, the Middle East, Central Europe, East Asia, Central Asia, and this, of course, is Bonnie and I whenever we're home. We live in Colorado, but we equip and mobilize partners reaching the least reached peoples in Asia, Europe, and Africa. So that's week 5, and I sure am glad that you joined us for this study. Let's pray before we go. Father in heaven, thank you that through this video we can be linked together, and I ask you right now to stir the hearts of all those who are listening to these words, watching this video, stir their hearts to look into your word and find your truth and eat it and find it to be the joy and rejoicing of their heart because they're called by your name. Open to our hearts the great doctrines of Exodus 12 and of the Passover. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.